back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a great segment. We are at Costas. We are celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and all the remnants of it. I got together with a dear friend of mine about 6 months ago. I said, I'm having 30 crab cakes in 30 days. He said, I know the friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland. They'd love to have you out talking about that. And I said, well, there's one thing for sure. I love to eat. For skinny guy, I love to eat. Marshall Weston's here from the Restaurant Association of Maryland to bring us up to speed. I mean, I know the deal, man. You go out, you get three courses. It's prefix in most places. It's delicious. But more than that, my crab cake tour was about trying new places. And after not going anywhere for a year and a half, other than curbsiding, sitting in places, some places outdoors, indoors, mask, Eastern Shore, Western Shore, Southern Shore. I went all over the state. Seeing restaurants come back, seeing the people who work there, the cooks who cook, the owners who own, the suppliers who supply, the bartenders who pour. Spent a little bit of money last month, a little bit more than I wanted to on crab cakes, too, as we talked about that. But you have been in the heart of this from the beginning. You've been the CEO and the president of the Restaurant Association of Maryland for over a decade. This last year and a half has been a whole different orbit for every restaurant here.
Yep. I mean, it's hard to believe what we've actually gone through. And, you know, as those of us have kind of grown to take restaurants for granted, right? We just, if we wanted to go out for dinner because we didn't feel like cooking, we would go out. Mom and Dad, we take them out for their anniversary or go out for a birthday party. That's just what we did.
But even when you're a little child, the fast food place that Mom and Dad take you for the Happy Meal, it's always there. It's always, you know, it's just, it's ubiquitous to our society.
Yes. They are in every neighborhood, in every community, and we took them for granted. And then what? It was all taken away from us. And then we really realized how important restaurants are. I mean, just
how bad I wanted this Oysters Rockefeller at Costas.
The simplest things, from the oysters to do the juicy burger. And I'll tell you what, it's not just about the food, too. It's the server that's been waiting on you for 5, 6, 7 years. It's the bartender. It's the kids from the high school that are working at the front desk or waiting tables or bussing tables. All of that stuff.
And it took a plate for all of us to maybe realize that. Oh, Joe owns that place. Oh, Cindy works there. Oh, Bill's the bar. Oh, yeah. Joe's been the cook for years. And realize in those places, that was the story I began to tell when they shut sports down on me, bro. I mean, this is 30 years of doing this, 28 and a half years in. Oh, there's not going to be any baseball. There's not going to be any football. There's not going to be any Final Four. There's not going to be any lacrosse. Not going to be any Preakness. I mean, all of that taken away. And I started calling restaurateurs immediately, started calling educators, arts. Don and I just went full drive into Baltimore Positive. But I heard and I felt the same story. I know, if I told you how many restaurant owners are in my phone, I sell for a living. It's all I do is know Nick and Pete. It's all I do is know Damian, Bill, and Nancy down at Fadley's and all these people. First name basis with so many of these people. But then I started meeting people that were new and fresh to me, and I started meeting the light of this local entrepreneur, someone that saw a sub shop that became Pizza John's, someone that saw a crab shack that became Costas, right? And all these places that I've done business, and then I started to meet new people. You know, Greg Nally at Nally Fresh, I had him on the first week, and he said, I've always wanted to build a drive-thru. I've been talking about it. I did it in 9 days, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, that's something that you cannot underestimate is these business owners, especially restaurants, they adapt quickly. They give people what they want, right? And if they've got a change on a dime, they're willing to do it. And if it takes 9 days to get a carry-out operation up and running, well, they can probably do it in 7, right? Because, you know, it's one of these things. There's so many great people in this industry. And we're here at a place like Costas. I mean, been around forever. And, you know, they are a fixture in the community. The people, I'm just looking out at the crowd here, the people here, they look like they've been coming here for years.
Well, there was a table here having a party when I came in and had crabs. There's probably 45 people. Looked like an office party with crabs, you know? Friday afternoon. Perfect, right?
Perfect. We'd love to see it. And, you know, when you talk about your crab cake tour and what's going on, and you're all around the state, and you're trying to decide what the best crab cake is.
I wasn't going to do that. Impossible task.
And you know what? You might as well debate who's better. Is it Jordan or LeBron? You can have that argument for forever. And
somebody's going to say Kobe.
Sure.
Somebody's going to say, well...
And it's where you grew up, and it's where your parents brought you to in when you were a little kid, and it's the crab cakes that you've been eating. And, yeah, you would love to go out and try others and compare, but it's never like the one you get at home.
No
right?
doubt about
so
it.
So it's great to kind of just expose everyone to all
so
the different
to
stuff
me,
out there.
You know who makes the best crab? I'll tell you, my grandmother.
You're darn right. Or, you know, it's a great debate to talk about, just like sports, and that's why it's so appropriate. It's a fun discussion to have, and it's great to try new things.
Except if we talk Maryland and Penn State, then it wouldn't be fun?
Yeah, you know.
No?
I could talk it all day if you want.
I had Rob Santonio.
Okay.
Rob's whole family's Penn State, so he's got his Wise Markets, my great sponsor. Appreciate it. I'm joining them. They're having a crab wagon on Sunday. They have a $6 signature crab cake they sell throughout the chain. I have not had it yet. They want me to have it Sunday. It's Ravens game day, and he's a Penn State. There's a lot of Penn State. Jane Miller was there's a lot. You know, it's okay. I know. It's okay.
I hear what you're saying, and you know, I just got to be sensitive. Though,
all right,
right?
So today I did not order the crab cake at Costas. I ordered the crab imperial.
I heard.
And this is a little lesson because I got into, and I'm like this, when I go to the same places and order the same thing, everybody has the dish they have at their place. I'm imploring people during restaurant week and into the Great Beyond, because I did this whole tour, I would go into a restaurant and say, what do you do? Because I think the special things at Costas, and I've been eating here my whole life, I think the cream spinach is the greatest thing. Johnny-O, how's the cream spinach?
Gone.
Yep.
Spoken like a Sparrow's Point guy. So I tasted the cream spinach for the first time on the Oysters Rockefeller, and I'm like, that's the best cream spinach I ever had. What's in it? And this isn't a secret. They tell me here. He told me, but I don't even know. It's got some liqueur. So then I got the regular cream spinach, and now I never leave Costas without it. I was eating here for 30 years without ever having...
Never touched it, huh?
And then a year later, I ordered the crab imperial because I said to Pete and Nick, what have I never had here? And they said, get the crab. So I haven't touched it. And the first thing you know when they bring the crab imperial is you do what I'm about to never do this. You never touch this. It's still a little warm.
Nope.
Because they serve it hot. So I'm going to have you tell everyone the whole story about Restaurant Association Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to tell me the Maryland Restaurant Week this week, which you can find at MarylandRestaurantWeek.com.
Yep.
And I'm going to eat one of my favorite things that I haven't had since before the pandemic. I haven't had it probably almost 2 years here at Costas. One of my favorite things, the crab imperial. So have at it.
Well, have at it. So, you know,
I feel like a king.
You should. At the Restaurant Association of Maryland, you know, we look at all the restaurants. There are almost 11,000 restaurants here in the state of Maryland. And they are hardworking, you know, there to deliver for their customers day in and day out. But, you know, who's there to advocate for them when things go wrong? When the pandemic happens, and we've got to talk to county executives and the governor about, hey, restaurants are an important part of our society. They need help to get through this pandemic.
They have employees. They serve people.
That's right. Over 200,000 people work in restaurants in the state of Maryland. That's, you know, that's a lot of people. We're a big employer, so we're there to make sure that, you know, when decisions are made and when restaurants need help, we're there to deliver. And that's kind of where we came up with Maryland Restaurant Week, because we all know about the local restaurant weeks that go on throughout the state, whether it be some town or maybe a county, and Baltimore County does theirs and the city does theirs as well. But during COVID, a lot of those things fell off the map, but we felt it was important to keep that momentum going. Keep people going to restaurants. And what's different about Maryland Restaurant Week compared to all the others is we include everybody. We've got sub shops, we've got diners, fine dining, chains, fast casual, every type of restaurant segment are involved. If you want to get a milkshake, you can go find a milkshake shop and get 10% off a milkshake or whatever it is. So it's not the fixed menu that everybody's used to, which is great. Why? Because now we can go out and try something new, try something different. And that's kind of what's exciting to me, is that we kind of fall into the same routine. And we all ran back to our favorite restaurants as soon as we could when they reopened after the pandemic. But now it's time to just expand our horizons a little bit. Go over to the county next to you, or find that place that is in your county that you haven't been to, and go try it out. And I tell you what, there's a lot of new restaurants out there. Every year, there's something new. Even during the pandemic, there were restaurants that figured out a way to open. And although on a smaller scale, they're open and they're looking to get running. There's a lot of great things out there. And that's what Maryland Restaurant Week's all about.
Well, you know, I do a lot of business with restaurants. State Fair, Evan Brown's going to be on next week over in Catonsville. Got wiped out at Portales twice in two floods. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Opens in a Friendly's. right before the plague, we started doing shows. We had Johnny O over there about 2 years ago. He's opened two locations during COVID. He's opened El Guapo. He's opened the Beaumont, brand new. It's not top of mind. It's been open 2 weeks. My wife and I had a delicious maple pork pork chop there last week, a mustard maple pork chop. I went to your website. I went to MarylandRestaurantWeek.com, and I've been promoting this for 6 weeks all during our crab cake tour. The amount of places that I've actually dined already, the places I've heard of, it's extraordinary. I mean, there are places here that you've been and places that you might not know about. 510 Johnny's, Abbey Burger Bistro Bill, Amici's, Amalfi. I'm just on the A's here. Applebee's is involved. I mean, this isn't just for my. This is everybody.
This is everybody.
I know Lido's Pizza's involved. I know Glory Days is involved. I know our friends at Nacho Mama's are involved. And you got sponsors from like McCormick, Old Bay, all the local. Maryland tourism is a big part of this. Getting people out. Why this week? Is this a particularly slow time when kids go back to school?
Historically, yes. You know, we all fall into the room. We come out of the summer where everybody's on vacation, and you know, the parents can't wait to get their kids back in school and get back into that regular routine again. You know, I remember those days, and it's just like you get through Labor Day, the kids get back in school, and guess what? You've got your fall sports, and you're running kids around to soccer practice and football practice, and all these things are going on, and you know what happens? People, they just don't dine out as much as they had been, you know. So September, historically, much slower month. And you know what? We're here to remind people that
the crabs are great in September.
Yes, they are. And you know what? We know you don't want to cook at 8 o'clock at night after you had to take someone to their soccer practice and pick someone up here. Stop by, get a deal.
By the way, 3:15 right now, my wife said, "You're bringing me home dinner tonight, right?"
Of course.
I said, it's restaurant week. Of course I'm going to do that.
You know, same thing. So, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. We looked at the time of year when historically things aren't, people don't go out as often. But, you know, all bets are off after this COVID. It's kind of, people are trying to figure out what their new routines are all about. And, we're hoping that this is going to continue for many years to come. And we continue to get people to just go out and support these local restaurants and these employees because, you know, they are a part of our community.
One thing we brought up with the county executive a few minutes ago, and we are at Costas. It's Maryland Restaurant Week, but it's also the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, even though I had Crab Imperial today. Don't tell anyone. Outdoor.
Yep.
We talk about the ingenuity and the entrepreneurship, and I started talking about that a year. I mean, I was just blown away. Every restaurateur I know got kicked in the teeth during this thing, and they all had to go back in their office, get their core employees. I mean, I had Brian Recker on when he reopened 8 months ago, literally sobbing on the show with his assistants because they stayed loyal and people stayed loyal. People needed to keep their employees fed so that their kitchen stayed together so that they could provide curbside. All of those issues, all horrible things that create resiliency, right? But then the outdoor part of this may be the shining light 5-10 years from now, right?
Yep.
For dining in America and probably for illness in general. I mean, I was never a hamster. My wife's had cancer twice, so I became an elbow bumper 7-8 years ago. My wife had leukemia. But the indoor-outdoor air, I talked to Martin not so much about air and indoor spaces. People have really enjoyed the outdoor thing. Al fresco, like Paris and cafes. We're going to see a whole new kind of dining, I think, once we get a hand on it, right?
Yeah. Without a doubt, there are two things that have come out of this pandemic that are going to change the restaurant industry for the foreseeable future. And you just talked about it, outdoor dining. People still today are coming to expect that, you know, every restaurant should have some outdoor dining. Maybe just because it makes me feel safer, or maybe just because, you know what, it's not that bad sitting outdoors.
Can we do something about the flies, though? I keep asking that.
Yeah, I know. You got to do it. Somebody out there, some young kid, invent something that can handle that problem.
This time of year, no problem. It's getting better.
But I tell you what else is out there that people now have come to expect restaurants to be able to deliver on takeout and carry out like they never have before. A lot of restaurants, they only worried about what was going on in their dining room, and you know, that was good enough and that was great, but we all learned to be able to get takeout and have that food be just as great in my home as it was in the dining room of the restaurant.
Well, and the packaging and the taking sandwiches and what are the
deconstruct.
Yeah, there, that's a Guy Fieri word. There you go. But things like French fries, you know, like I just, I just didn't order French fries during the play. And it probably kept me skinny during the play. But there are certain foods that, you know, fried foods that don't carry so well, you know. One thing I learned, I had carry out last night, so I'm going to give you a plug. Moeller, I'm going to give you a free plug, all right? This is free food for you. The best thing I've had in the past my lips this year, not a sponsor, Ekeben. You've been to Ekeben?
I have.
Have you had the broccoli at Ekeben?
I have.
It's the best thing I've ever had in my life.
You're missing out if you haven't tried it.
So they serve it, and it's tempura fried. They serve it with the box open so it doesn't get sweaty and mushy and mealy. And I'm missing a finger. That's my best restaurant story. You're new to me, so I'm going to tell this. I had my finger cut off in 1971 by a lawnmower about 2 miles away from your city hospital. And I've gotten better, and I threw curveballs. And the only thing I could not master was chopsticks. Mm. And I love Asian food. So I went to Beijing, China, eating out in 2007, and I ordered food. And you can't speak the language. Right? So you point, and they brought me chopsticks. And I showed them my finger. Oh, she's like, you know, be right back. She comes back, and they gave me toothpicks for my soup, right? And it was at that moment that I realized I learned how to throw a curveball. I can write in three different languages with a pen. I'm going to figure it out. Chopsticks. There's nothing in my adulthood that I'm prouder of than learning in my 40s how to eat with chopsticks, so I now can eat with chopsticks. So you know, there's still hurdles, but when it comes to food, my palate's changed. I mean, I am so widely diverse, especially for being a Dundalk kid that grew up on pizza and hot dogs and burgers, right, fast food, that I love that this spinach is unlike any other kind of spinach I've ever had and has ingredients. And I'm nuts about ingredients now. I've become a little chefy watching a Food Network.
Yep.
Food is fun.
And you cannot underestimate how much these shows on TV and just, you know, you talking about food get people worked up. And, they just, as Americans, you know, for the longest time we kind of had our cuisine. But I'd say over the past 10 years for certain, just across the country, our tastes are evolving. We're seeing more and more ethnic
restaurants. I remember the first time I ate sushi, I couldn't get over it. Now I'm in the Tokyo Shiji Market a year and a half ago looking at fish soup at 6 in the morning. It's crazy.
Were you eating sushi when you were 16 years old?
First time, it's a good plug for my dear friend Molly Dunham Glassman, who was my boss. I'm going to see her tomorrow down at the Guinness Brewing House, Open Gate. And she took an uncultured, wet behind the ears, long-haired Hammerjacks guy, and her husband Dave, who attended Woodstock. So Dave went to Woodstock. He's a guy you want to hang out with. And they took me for sushi on Charles Street in 1988. And I looked at it, and I didn't know what to do with it. I remember when it was 1988. I'd never heard of it. I'm like, they don't cook it? What? What's the green stuff? Oh, that's wasabi. Oh, what's the brown stuff? That's, you know, so I had to learn it all. And you feel a little foolish, you know, trying new things. But then my dear friend Julio Bermejo, about 15 years ago, we were in Brazil after a Rolling Stones concert, and we went into a market in Brazil at 3 o'clock in the morning, big, beautiful produce market, and he said, I want you to pick up everything you don't recognize and put it in the bag, and we're going to take it back, and we've been drinking, we've been up, you know, watching the Stones, and I'll never forget him with a knife, Julio Bermejo from Tommy's Tequila in San Francisco, cutting open different fruits and vegetables that were only available in South America, and cutting me a piece and saying, here, try this, and before you know it, I'm like, ah, that's terrible. Hey, that tastes like a peach.
Yeah, it's not so, you know, and that's where we're at today. It's like
you see Bourdain in these people. I don't want to eat rat guts. I'm not doing the stuff that Zimmern does, even though he's been on the show. But I love food.
And kids today, they're more adventurous than ever when it comes to food. They, you know, 16-year-olds today. You put a plate of sushi out, it's gone in 4 seconds. They don't ask questions. They don't want to know, ooh, what am I mean? They are so much more open to trying different foods today, and that's really what's driving the restaurant scene. And, you know, you got to think about young people and, you know, what their tastes are, and restaurants respond to that. So I think it's really great, and we're going to continue to see a lot of creative new things come out here in Maryland and across the country. So it's really fun to be in the food scene now.
Where's Pete and Nick around here at Casa? They put Bing cherries in this spinach. I'm telling you. Yeah, there's something delicious in there. They tell me it's a liqueur of some kind. Can only get it at Costas.
Yep, everything's better with bacon and maybe a little alcohol in it.
That would be better
with
bacon.
That's a secret.
And I haven't had a beer yet. thanks for coming by. I'm going to elbow bump you. I'm a handshaker, hugger, and all that. Appreciate your sponsorship. Appreciate your partnership.
Glad to be here.
Appreciate your patience. I was late getting you on, which is against the rules. I apologize, but I hope we have a really successful Maryland Restaurant Week. What's your favorite food? Your favorite food group?
This is kind of like when people ask, what's your favorite, what's the greatest rock and roll song of all time? Well, you can't answer that. It's like a list of like 10 that are kind of all together. So I can't
like potatoes. If they got a potato, I probably eat it.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
From time to time.
That's why I
got to
stay away from it.
I really can't sit here and say I love pizza more than I love a great steak, more than I love chicken, more than I love, a trout that I caught out on the Patapsco River during trout season. You know, it's just you've got to be able to appreciate a lot of different things. So I know it's the boring answer that I don't have a favorite, but usually
it depends on the day for me.
Well, it's usually whatever someone else cooks for me. That's my favorite.
All right, well, that's what we're going out. Maryland Restaurant Week. Marshall Weston here, the CEO and president of the Restaurant Association of Maryland. They call it RAM. We call it Maryland Restaurant Week. You can get all the deals, all the specials, all the places. Just go to MarylandRestaurantWeek.com. And I'm going to say this. I had Chad Price on from Rand Azul down in Maple Lawn.
Maple Lawn, yep.
I had him on. And we got to talking, and I said to him, because I saw a ceviche, and I haven't had ceviche in a while. His chef is Latin, which I dig. They had creme brulee, which my wife would dig. And then I said to him, well, what's the best thing on your menu? I mean, and that's like asking Barry Manilow his favorite song, right? And he said, our lamb chops are really good. You know what I thought? I don't think I've had a lamb chop in like 2.5 years. My wife's buddy, Jimmy, does a tailgate every year with lamb chops like the Browns game. So we always have lamb chops once a year. I never order them out. Mm. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I look at it. There's always something else I get, right? And I thought to myself, I'm going to go down there and get a lamb chop. That's what I'm going to do.
Good.
So for me, it's a little bit about what have I not had Crab Imperial here at
lately.
Costas. Haven't had lately. So I'm into a variety mode. I hadn't had strawberry ice cream in like 5 years. I bought a little pint of it the other day because I just wanted to mix things up.
You know, if you're missing out. If you have not tried...
Go ahead.
Root beer ice cream. Have you had a root beer ice cream from someplace, any place?
Rob Santoni, who I am going to be with on Sunday at Wise Markets, I did a 30-minute piece with him on the air yesterday promoting Sunday. And Wise Markets, their ice cream is world famous. They have an entire facility in Sunbury where they make 53 flavors. I want to get the candy cake because they have a partnership with Tasty Cake. They do a candy cake. You're a Pennsylvania guy.
Yeah.
But he told me the root beer float is their best flavor. Hold on. You're a Pennsylvania guy, right?
Yes.
Have
now,
you
with
ever,
the Penn State Creamery now, we know they all make the great.
Hold on. Have you ever had Tea Berry ice cream? T-E-A-B-E-R-R-Y. Have you heard of Tea Berry ice cream?
Does Turkey Hill make that? I think I may have seen...
Teaberry is a Lancaster, Pennsylvania Dutch sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
I had never heard of it. Hannah Grotti from Wise Markets came on with me 4 months ago, and she's their spokesperson, and she's wonderful. She's delightful, and we were talking. It was ice cream month, and she said, have you ever had Teaberry? I'm like, never heard of it. So I Googled it. I want you... This is your homework, being Mr. Pennsylvania, all right? Maryland Restaurant Association, Maryland Restaurant Week and the Restaurant Association Maryland. Teaberry ice cream is pink, all right? So it looks, it's bright pink. I had no idea what it was going to taste like. Somebody said it's going to taste like Pepto-Bismol. And I said, okay. And the people that don't like it say it tastes like Pepto-Bismol. My wife bought a gallon of Wise Teaberry, brought it home. She put the scooper in, put it in her mouth, and she spit it out. She like, that's terrible. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch it until Hannah comes back on. So 2 months later, I had it. It was pristine except for the one little missing scoop. I had it. I brought it out, and I took a bite of it on the air live. And I was like, all right, it tastes like Pepto-Bismol. But then I stayed with it. I stayed with it. It's birch beer. I promise you it's birch beer. I promise you that's the flavor.
That's
so if you like root beer, you might
I may be running out to get this
because I've not heard of it.
It is
birch beer. If you get past the look of it, because it looks, it's pink.
Now, we eat with our eyes, but maybe the trick is have your eyes closed, right? And then maybe go that route.
Says the guy running a restaurant association. We eat with our eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's birch beer. So there you go. If you like birch beer, you'll love it.
There we go.
T-Berry. Marshall Weston here.
New.
Elbows up, man. Thank you very much. Restaurant Association of Maryland, I promise you I'd have you out of here. I'll send you off with some spinach. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing it next Friday at Greenmount Station in Hampstead, Carroll County. And then we're with the mayor on the 8th of October at Coco's. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. If I made you hungry, I did my job. We're Baltimore Positive.